It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And joining us from Harvell & Collins is Cecil Harvell. Good morning, Cecil.
Good morning, Ben.
What are we talking about today?
Ben, let's talk about the guardianship proceeding and just kind of how these circumstances frame up. They are very common.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Ben, these can come at a family from several different directions. A guardianship is a special proceeding
mm-hmm.
before the clerk of superior court, whereby, unfortunately, we are needing to gain control over either the person or the property
mm-hmm.
of another. Both the person, meaning, you know, where they might be
right.
cared for,
mm-hmm.
Who has control over health care decisions, which rehabilitation, which nursing facility, which memory care unit,
mm-hmm.
things of that would all be within the guidelines of the guardian of the person. Guardian of the property, of course, is such things as you know, control of the real estate, the bank accounts, the stock accounts, the retirement accounts, to receive basically the income of the incompetent person and to provide for their bill paying and then, of course, also their financial well-being. Now, the first thing that we want to remember, Ben, is that, you know, if we have a power of attorney, a well-drafted power of attorney, durable, meaning that it lasts throughout the duration of the incapacity, then that in most cases is going to avoid the necessity for a guardianship proceeding. The power of attorney also will name the agent. And if we do go so far as a hearing, more than likely that's going to be strong evidence of the fact that the person would want their agent
right.
to be their guardian.
Right.
But again, in most cases, we're able to avoid the guardianship when we have a well-drafted power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it isn't well-drafted, if it isn't specific enough, if it doesn't particularly address a particular power, then there we go.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be, you know, catapulted back into a guardianship proceeding because our power of attorney is defective because it's not specific enough. So it's very important that the powers of attorney be reviewed and they be looked at. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Ben, and Wes and I will be talking more about this, that there is a complete rewrite of the chapter in the North Carolina General Statutes concerning the power of attorney. It is now going to be in 32C of the North Carolina General Statutes, and it is a complete rewrite, and there are some very significant changes effective January 1, 2018. But the bottom line is that if we have a good power of attorney, we hope that we can avoid a guardianship. Now, if you have a power of attorney operating in your family, one of the angles where these files frame up, Ben, is that someone else in the family who is not named under the power of attorney believes that the agent under the power of attorney is overreaching or violating their fiduciary duty, that they are making decisions notwithstanding the fact that they have the power, that they are making decisions that are not necessarily in the best interest of the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are now seeking out legal advice, if you will, to challenge the power of attorney.
And so that's one of the ways that it would be challenged.
That's one of the avenues.
I mean, it's not the only one, but it's one of the ways.
That's not the only way. We're going to talk about some others, but mm-hmm. that's a fairly common one.
Well, this is often the case where someone has, they've just progressed through life.
Of course.
They've aged and mm-hmm. They've done their work on creating a power of attorney and a healthcare power of attorney, and they've named their agents on that fact, but and then there may be some stumbling blocks as they get older, more infirmed, and sometimes it's with the patient themselves. I mean, they may be arguing whether or not they have that capacity.
Well, you've jumped forward of a whole other avenue. That is a big one. Let's talk about the one that I was talking about, which is that someone else in the family is thinking that the agent under the power of attorney is not acting in the best interest of the principal. And so they now come forward and file for guardianship, notwithstanding that there happens to be a power of attorney.
Right.
Basically setting forth these circumstances, these factual circumstances that support their claim that the agent under the power of attorney, Ben, is not particularly doing a good job.
It doesn't even require that you're a family member. I
mean, it does not.
Yeah.
It does not. And so that is a fairly common avenue that we see that then gets put before the clerk of Superior Court for a decision. There is a guardian ad litem appointed who is usually another lawyer who comes in as kind of an independent source and evaluates what they think in their opinion. They're somewhat quasi-representing the incompetent person and rendering a report to the clerk as to what they think is in the best interest of the incompetent person.
So they're a disinterested party for
they're disinterested.
For the
they're not
court.
Particularly an advocate for one side or the other. If anything, they are just an advocate for the incompetent person.
Okay.
Right. Now, to get to your scenario, Ben, this is probably another common avenue, is that the gentleman or the lady have a power of attorney, and it's even a well-drafted power of attorney, and maybe the son or daughter or grandchild is acting in some capacity pursuant to the power of attorney, but the principal, granddad, grandma, you know, mom, dad, are always challenging the decision of their agent.
Right.
They
right.
just simply don't think they need the power of attorney. They don't need that medication. They don't need to be in that memory care unit. They don't particularly think that the house, that they need caregivers in the home. In other words, they, the principal, the elder person, if you will, is not agreeable to honoring the power of attorney, to implementing it, to allowing it to become effective, and just, yes, son or daughter, or, you know, I allow you to do whatever is in my best interest. Now, as we all know, Ben, for everyone that there is like that,
right.
There's the other sweet grandma, granddad, mom or dad who just are so appreciative and thank you so much for doing this and never challenge or question anything. And that's nice if you have that kind of person in your family and if you happen to be their agent under a power of attorney. And we do see a lot of files like that. But we also see files where for whatever reason, due to the dementia, due to the medical condition, due to you know, lack of trust, bewilderment,
stubbornness. I don't want to give up the keys.
Old is not for the faint-hearted.
That's right.
As we all know, that they in those files, they are there to challenge each and every decision made by the agent. Well, this puts the agent in a very difficult position. Because, had a file just a week or so ago where the gentleman was on the internet, if you will, PayPal or one of the Amazon.com or one of the buy.
Right.
And had spent, $7,000-$8,000 consistently every month on different items, none of which were really particularly needed. And just was consistently spending a lot of his money on non-needed items. And of course, when the children, and there were two children, confronted Dad about this, he was angry. And I'm going to do it anyway. And I don't want you to send all those items back. And they hadn't even been unpacked or uncrated, but yet, I'm going to keep them. These files are difficult. They're emotional, as we can imagine. And then now this son, this daughter, even though there is a power of attorney, they, of course, now have to go to court and seek a tighter order, if you will, a tighter procedure. So that they really do have the legal authority.
They have the full control over the
accounts. Notwithstanding what dad or mom may be thinking.
Okay. We'll have more to come in just a moment. If you have questions, of course, they're always welcome here on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. You can call us right now.
Call me at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
Welcome back here, Coastal Daybreak here on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240. Thanks for joining us here today. And as always on Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins, we entertain your questions. We're talking about guardianship today with Cecil Harvell.
Thank you, Ben. So, Ben, these factual scenarios, the one where mother or father, granddad, grandma is, not cooperating,
with their own,
stubborn,
with their own desires,
ornery, whatever word we want to use. Mm-hmm. We all know that they are intentionally trying to aggravate the situation, but due to, again, these concepts of dementia, getting very old, not feeling well, trust, bewilderment, that they are acting out in this way. These files, as one can imagine, and our listeners are tuning in and saying, oh, yeah, I know about that situation. Those are really difficult, Ben, because the question is, now the son or daughter, if you will, are really adverse to their loved one.
Right,
And you can only imagine how difficult this is. Against your mother, against your father. What we do find in these files is, although there's a lot of high intensity initially, and a lot of oxygen, if you will, in the file initially, that once it is a done deal, things settle down greatly, and the relationship is restored, and many times the principal even forgets or is not as aware of the fact that there had to be this guardianship proceeding. But again, these files with this factual scenario, the question is, always with the son, the daughter, the grandson, is when do I, pull the switch? When do I really say, I'm gonna file for this guardianship? Usually what happens in these files is that we continue kind of wading along in this, turbulent water, if you will, until we absolutely are forced to make a decision. Because again, it's difficult to go against your loved one and adjudicate them incompetent. But sometimes we just are forced into that situation.
Yeah, often this person has been a caregiver for this principal. And the principal, the person affected has had good days and bad days. Sometimes they're very competent.
Exactly.
Yeah, and sometimes not.
So. Correct. And keep in mind, this is happening even though we have a well-drafted power of attorney. It's just that the principal, the father, the mother, doesn't want to honor those terms, doesn't think that they need those medications or they need that particular, skilled care or that particularly memory care control, whatever the case might be. And they are acting in a way inconsistent with what their needs are. The test here is, is the person of the incompetent, alleged incompetent person, is their person being threatened? Their medical circumstances, their emotional, psychological, or medical condition, is it being threatened? And as to their property, are there any factual scenarios and factual evidence of the fact that the property is being not properly protected. Mm-hmm. I mean, are CDs not getting renewed? Are bills not getting paid? Are properties not being cared for and going into significant disrepair? Are insurances on the property and or the car not being paid? All of these things could be evidence, if you will, of the fact that, you know, the property of the alleged incompetent person is not being maintained according to, you know, a reasonable standard.
Okay. All right. This is, these are all scenarios that are real and you deal with every day. Now, I just want to mention a couple of others real quickly, just because often the guardianship comes into place where there's an unexpected turn, like somebody's had a stroke. Right.
Yes, or an accident.
Yeah.
We've had many files in our office for much younger folks. It's not always an elder person who has been in a tragic accident. And yes, there needs to be a guardian, and it might be that it is only for a matter of, you know, 6 months or a year, and then there's a restoration of rights.
Right.
The guardianship order, if you will, is rescinded. So yes, it can be a sudden illness, a stroke, any other kind of sudden, setback medically, an accident. It can be the onset of, you know, a mental disease,
right,
which sometimes, is under control with some folks, and then very most unfortunately and tragically becomes out of control.
Right.
It can be drug addiction, anything. It can be any circumstance where the person, where their physical, emotional, psychological well-being is being threatened. This is not in their best interest of their person or their property. And these are the grounds that the clerk would want to hear about.
Right.
So as to be able to make this most very significant decision that this person is no longer able to make a reasonable and competent decision about their medical care, their personal care, or the care of their property.
A lot of this results because we have improved so much in our medical care that people are living longer, and they are living past the ages or where they start develop these issues that were not heard of four or five, you know, a couple of generations ago.
Well, that's just so very true. And I think that is an interesting thing that you bring up, Ben, that we can kind of spend the last few minutes on.
Well, it's also, just before we take a break, I just want to mention the other case, because I know a family that's come to you on this one, is special needs child that becomes a majority age.
Correct.
And may need to have guardianship so that they can be cared for and trust set up. And
yes.
So those are all parts of that guardianship proceeding.
Correct.
We'll have more to come in a moment here on Let's Talk Legal. Your questions are welcome at 800-818-2255 or at these local numbers.
247-7282 or 353-4674.
Four or five minutes left here now with Cecil Harvell from Harvell & Collins, Attorneys at Law, online at harvellandcollins.com. And you can always reach them and call them for an appointment, too, at 726-9050.
Ben, speaking of the fact that we are all living longer and medical technology and medicine in general has so significantly improved, that life expectancy is now longer than ever. This is an interesting thing that you brought up just a moment ago. And I have to, you know, the law responds to the law responds many times to these kinds of, shifts in culture, society, etc.
Right.
And isn't it interesting that our North Carolina legislature has now completely rewritten, as we were discussing early, the durable power of attorney statute, the North Carolina Uniform Power of Attorney Act, is referred to under now Chapter 32C. And it is, you know, a comprehensive and significant Power of Attorney Act. Now, you know, that is in response to, no question, but that is in response to the more significant elder population.
Right.
And where we are heading, again, in our day-to-day lives with our parents, with our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, all living much, much longer than we used to live.
Right.
And as a result of that, more and more powers of attorney are being used. They are having to be relied on by banks, by your retirement company for your pension, your IRA. And as a result of all of this, the law responded and clarified, and consolidated many of the issues that were out there that were not as clear as they needed to be. Maybe I'm being a bit esoteric this morning, a little academic, but the bottom line, Ben, is that's exactly what happened.
It's a challenge for the law. It's a challenge for the medical community as well, too, is how they respond to this.
Correct. Yeah. Fiduciary law, which is, you know, how a fiduciary, be it an executor, a trustee, an agent under a power of attorney, an administrator of an estate, these are a guardian of a person and or property. This is one of the most significant areas of the law right now. Very, very active. So many folks now have a question or a concern in the area of fiduciary law. And it's more complicated than ever. There's more liability, more twists and turns, more legal requirements. And as a result, this is a very active area of the law.
And it's something that we all need to take care of because we all have either elder relatives or, for many people, our millennial generation is growing up. It's going to be the caretakers for us.
Correct.
and so they need to understand these things as well, too, and take
That's
care
correct.
Of these matters.
Exactly.
It's all part of what we do here. And so our efforts to demystify the law in this program are something that's certainly appreciated now across generations.
So if there are any questions about these guardianship files or quasi-guardianship, our listeners are free to call and ask a question. As we know, Ben, this program will be now indexed onto, you know, harvellandcollins.com so that you listeners can listen to it again if you would like, or ask a question. There might be a post or a blog relative to this particular program.
So check it out at harvellandcollins.com and call for an appointment at 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City.